Boy, I had a love affair when I was 11 years old.
Well, you know. Was your wife in the same country as you?
No, she was born in Romania.
Oh, she was Romanian. And was, well, the next question doesn't apply. Did anybody in your family or among your friends marry non-Jews?
Anybody in my family?
Well, if you don't want to answer, you don't have to, if it feels this is a personal question, but...
Well, I'd better not answer.
Okay. What is your feeling on intermarriage, not relevant to family or close friends, just your general opinion on intermarriage?
I'm not in favor of it.
Not in favor. Okay.
Not for religious reasons, for other reasons.
Not for religion, because you're not an Orthodox religious person. Okay.
It doesn't work out, that's all. Mm. That is, to my mind, don't work out. Mm-hmm.
Many young couples today have trouble getting along with each other. What were your problems of adjustment during the first years of your marriage?
My trouble was economic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Money question.
Money.
That was my trouble.
Who made the important decisions, you or your wife?
I think both of us. Yeah.
Was this different from back in the old country, from the way your father and mother made important decisions? How was it there?
Well, over there, the father really made a decision.
Mm-hmm. What kind of schooling did your children get? First I have to ask, do you have any children?
Two.
And what kind of schooling did they get?
Well, my daughter had 4 years high school and mm-hmm. 1 year business college.
Mm-hmm. And you have a son too?
And my son had high school, mm-hmm. Carnegie Tech,
mm-hmm.
and that's all.
What do you mean, that's all? In other words, he's a college graduate.
Yeah.
What's his profession?
He's an industrial engineer.
Oh, mm-hmm. Did any of them receive Jewish education?
My son did.
Where?
In Hebrew school.
Do you remember which Hebrew school?
Up in the Hill District.
The Hebrew Institute?
Hebrew Institute, and then he finished at the Bnei Israel Hebrew school.
And then he went to Bnei Israel till Bar Mitzvah?
Till Bar Mitzvah. Uh-huh. And after that, it stopped.
Mm-hmm. In other words, you used to live in East Liberty.
Yeah.
Oh. Was there a difference between the way you were raised and the way you raised your children?
Oh, yes. Much of it. First of all, when I was raised in a strict religious
mm-hmm.
home.
Mm-hmm.
My children were raised in a no religious pressure at all.
Mm-hmm. But they did have religious education.
Well,
just that at home, that there was no religious pressure.
Yeah.
Davin or Phil.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember any problems in raising your children which were due to your being an immigrant?
No, I don't. I didn't give you one of the most important events in my life.
Mm-hmm.
World War Number One.
So tell me.
Well, you didn't ask me.
I'm sorry. It wasn't in the questionnaire.
Yeah.
That's why we have this.
See. You see, after I graduated college in 1916,
mm-hmm.
I was admitted to the bar of Tennessee State.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, I went to Indianapolis, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I was also admitted to the bar of Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And I practiced law for 8 months until World War I broke out. Then I came to Pittsburgh in 1917, registered for the draft,
mm-hmm.
and I was inducted in the service of the United States.
As an officer?
No. On September 22nd, 1917.
Mm-hmm.
from the, I was already married by that time. Mm-hmm. From then I went to Camp Lee, mm-hmm. Virginia, stayed there 4 months. And I was transferred to Camp Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And my wife came over to stay with me, she stayed in a hotel in Charlotte until I went overseas in April 1918. Mm-hmm. To make a long story short, on June 6th, I was severely wounded in the army.
Which front?
In France, mm-hmm. in the Charretier front. Mm-hmm. And I was reported dead to my people here sometime in July. It took about 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah. Meanwhile, I didn't know it.
You were wounded. You were in the hospital.
I was in a French hospital, and that time...
You must have lost your identification or something. Or?
Well, that's that excuse, but it wasn't that. It was a clerical mistake. Then, that time, the New York Herald had a newspaper they used to publish every week for the soldiers. Mm-hmm. In France. Mm-hmm. It was a 4-page paper, mm-hmm. and on one page they had all the obituary, you know, the death notices. So I was convalescent that time from my wound, and I started to read the they only give you the names of the, they didn't give you the what outfit it was for military reasons, you know, just give Harry so-and-so died. And so then I came across a name, my sergeant, Master Sergeant Evans. I know he was killed the day before I was wounded. Then they gave a couple more names. And then Harry M. Slatkin. 35 over Hill Street, Pittsburgh, PA. So for a minute...
You thought you were dead.
No. For a minute, I just read the name and started to go down the line. I thought, then I says, wait a minute. That name is familiar to me, and especially the street over Hill Street. So I picked up the paper and went over to the Red Cross. And I says to the girl, I want to speak to the captain. She says, what for? I says, I want to speak to him. So I come into the office. He says, well, I spread out the paper and I says, see this obituary? He says, yeah, well, what about? I says, you see this name? He says, yeah. I says, that's me. He says, what is it? It's kind of a joke you're playing? I said, no joke, it's my name. Oh. Then they send a telegram home, death report untrue. Meanwhile, my people in Pittsburgh
were sitting shiva. Yeah.
And it was Saturday. Saturday, you're not supposed to sit shiva. So my father, there was a shul that time on Connor Crawford and Clark. They call it the senior shul.
Yeah.
And he was there at that time in the shul, and my sister, she's dead now. She brought over the telegram to, and they started to dance and mazel tov, you know.
Oh, what a, you know, I'm crying just to think of it.
So,
you and Mark Twain, the reports of your death were greatly
exaggerated. So they pick out this my letter, mm-hmm. and the telegram,
yeah.
and they go over to the War Department in Pittsburgh, and he says, "Nah, we don't make them." See, meanwhile, they got a telegram 2 weeks before that I was killed in action.
Yeah.
the War Department says, no, no, it's a mistake. Mm. It says, we don't make such a mistake. Yeah. Took him about 3 weeks to find out that they made a mistake.
Meanwhile, you couldn't communicate with them. It wasn't so simple to pick up a telephone and call in the
way
it is.
So as soon as I read, after he sent the telegram, there was a Red Cross nurse there. She was a social worker. She was going around in the hospital, and I told her what happened. And I couldn't use my arm because I was wounded through here. So I dictated a letter to her, explained the whole thing. Mm.
Oh, I could just imagine your family, but still to finally hear. And then after you recovered, you were sent back to the front or sent back home?
Sent back to the front.
Ah.
And by the way, that time the labor license was in existence. Mm. And the Stogemakers Union and the Socialist Party, they were going to make a memorial meeting for me. And they had my picture in the paper.
So you stayed in France on the front until Armistice Day?
No, I stayed there before. Then I was sent back to the lines October the 15th. And we were supposed to join the front sometime by November the 12th, and November the 11th was Armistice at Saviors.
I bet your father benched Geimel and you benched Geimel, even though you weren't religious anymore.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.